Episode 416, Simplified Meal Planning, Low Ingredient Meal Plans.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
My name is Jill.
And today we are talking simple meal planning. We are in summer. Well, technically summer starts in a few days, but if you live in Florida, we are in summer. And we're thinking simple summer meal planning, just very low maintenance, low effort, too easy not to do at meal planning.
Because we're so tired.
So tired and lazy.
Yeah.
Restful. I think we should rebrand lazy to restful.
Yeah.
Intentional rest. Intentional lays.
Slowing down.
Yeah. So we are capitalizing that. Let's not work against the season. Let's embrace the season. Let's not work against our brains. Embrace the energy level that comes with this season.
But also do the things that are going to help you to still be eating at home, eating more nutritiously, eating in ways that don't hurt your money. And we asked you all in the friend letter, we give a poll in every friend letter. And this time we asked, what's your best trick for simplifying meal plans with options to rotate the same meals each week, make one big meal, eat lots of leftovers, get other family members to pitch in? Others might have just said, what plan or other? Do you do something else? But most of you did say that your best trick is to just make one big meal and eat lots of leftovers. So there you go. That's our episode.
No, I mean, so we're not like as much into that as most of you are. So I think we're going to focus on the ingredients and maybe making one big low ingredient meal that you can have leftovers, but you don't have to. So we're going to come at it from all angles in this episode, whether you're a leftover eater, whether you're not. There is going to be something for you in this episode.
But first, this one's brought to you by the offspring of the Trichoplax and water flea. The first being the simplest living creature on earth with no mouth, no stomach, no muscles, no blood, and no veins. They also have no front or back, whereas the water flea is the most complex, with about 25% more genes than us humans. Their offspring, however, is the radical middle of the simplest and most complicated beings on earth, sponsoring this episode to remind you about their cousin, the friend letter, also being the radical middle of helpful personal finance tips with humor and actionable steps sprinkled in. Because you don't need triclopaxes or water fleas in your life. You need the friend letter, frugalfriendspodcast.com.
I read the first line of that and I stopped reading because I didn't want to know.
You didn't want to know. So Most people don't want to know.
I read no mouth, no stomach, no muscles, no blood. And then I was like, well, if semaglutide's not working for you, whatever the trichoplax has going on, maybe it will.
The trichoplax and the water flea obviously cannot actually have offspring, just based on what I have described to you about the two of them. But it still is interesting to think about what their offspring would be. They'd be both and. Simple with the right amount of complexity. And I think that's what the friend letter does.
So true. I didn't want to know any of that. But what I do want to know is how to simplify my meal planning. That is what I'm always looking for. After what feels like a decade of meal planning, I'm still always looking for ways to simplify it. So this is one of our most popular topics. You love it too. A couple episodes to queue up for after this. Episode 395, Creative Ways to Reduce Food Waste with Carly Bodrug of Plant U. Her newest cookbook, New York Times bestselling cookbook, Scrappy Cooking, is, I think, a manual that everybody should have in their kitchen. It tells you how to reuse commonly thrown away kitchen scraps into fantastic recipes. Episode 370, First Annual Dinner Awards, our best dinner recipes to meal plan. I still love that episode.
We called it First Annual, but are we past? No, I guess we're not. Yeah, we're past 1 year on it. Will we do another one?
Oh, who knows? We could. Yeah.
Okay.
Time is a construct. And then episode 354, meal planning for people who hate to cook. So this is simplifying cooking is a topic we love talking about, yeah, because we don't love cooking. So we are going to look at an article with 13 practical ways to simplify your meals. We're going to look at just some good foundational pieces when you are planning your meals. And then we're going to go into a few low ingredient resources.
So I will say we probably won't go through all 13. The article does have 13 listed. We're just kind of picking out our favorites, but we'll go through most of them. We looked at a couple of different articles to inform this episode, and this one was my favorite. I do feel like it was the combination of the best tips and some kind of reframes or thinking about things a little bit differently than maybe I have before. So I'm excited about this one. It comes from Raising Simple. Like we said, 13 practical ways to simplify meals. We will have it linked in the show notes, but they describe both coming from different cultures. The writer is Italian, married to a person from Korea, and they together have a couple of children. And so really kind of diverse types of food that they're eating in their homes, but then also some creative ways of getting your kids to enjoy the food too, and how to engage in some of that creativity and just make it simple too.
Yeah. So that brings us to our first one, to check your expectations, is your first simplifying tip. If you are going for simple, easy, and low ingredient, you have to start with a realistic approach to your meals to reflect that. So, and this is, you have to honor your season in this. And so a lot of the times we will want to cook the most healthy meal plan or the tastiest, all these superlatives to our meal plan. But we have to really look at our season and honor that when we are creating a meal plan. And so summer just seems like a really good time to talk about really simple meal plans. She says, if you're raising a small tribe like myself, complicated meals with hard to find ingredients may not be a good fit. I think the hardest thing for me in meal plans is finding recipes with ingredients I already have, because there's always some random ingredient that I can't find at Walmart. I'm not going to run around to specialty grocery stores right now in my life. It's just not what I value. If it is something you value, then of course, that's something enjoyable to you, do it. But I had to check my expectations. So think about what kind of meals meet your family's needs in this season of life. And maybe the season is short. Maybe it's a couple months, like summer, or maybe it's longer, like having young children. So just decide what season of life you're in. Check your expectations about what type of meal plan you can really have. Sometimes the healthiest meal plans are not the meal plans your children will eat, you know? So check your expectations.
Make it realistic, otherwise you won't do it. The next one on here is to cook in one pot. This is just going to simplify dishes, not to mention just the process of cooking. If you're able to find recipes that can all be made in one type of container, then it's just simplified. So they talk about using an Instant Pot or a crock pot. I know a lot of you love the Instant Pot. It scares me, to be honest.
I'm an Instant Pot girl.
I am not. It terrifies me. I do have one. I let other people use it mostly. But what I've also learned about some of these is it's especially great if you like soup. I'm also not someone who loves soup. However, I think I still do use this kind of cook in one container hack with casseroles, aka bakes, like the one that you got from Jen Eats Good for the buffalo chicken and rice. That's made in one skillet.
Girl, or, I'll make that in the Instant Pot.
Okay.
That's a one pot Instant Pot for me. I was going to bring up that.
And it can be made in a skillet as well. So I do this. It just isn't necessarily in a pot or a crock pot. So if you're like me and you're like, yeah, I'm not into that. Sometimes it just ends up tasting like mush to me. There's a lot of things you can make in just one thing, and it's really good, and it can still have your veggies and your starches and your protein all wrapped up into one thing.
My newest one pot obsession, and this is going to sound, don't judge me, spaghetti. So I know, could you make it easier? Yes. Could you make it less dishes? Yes. And by doing it in the Instant Pot. So full disclosure, I actually have a Ninja Foodie, but I still call it the Instant Pot because that's when I say pressure cooker.
Right.
Okay. It gives off different vibes.
You're putting your raw pasta into it. And then...
So listen, I've done it so many times and it is fantastic every time. So we're browning a pound of ground beef in the Instant Pot on saute. And once that's browned, we put in the sauce, a little bit of the sauce, and then we break our pasta in half. I know. You are... You're Polish. Get out of here.
I'm married to an Italian.
Oh my gosh.
I know what's up. I still know what's
up. Get over it. Get over it. You break it in half and you say a Hail Mary. I don't know. And then you put that in there kind of lined up and then cover it with your water, the rest of your sauce, and you don't mix it. The secret is to not mix it. Just make sure all of the pasta is covered with water and sauce. And then I think 8 minutes in high pressure. And then it all comes out just creamy and dreamy. You've got that pasta water that makes everything a little creamier. And it is just a fantastic pasta bolognese, one pot. The only thing you have to think about is when you're browning the meat. I love it. I don't know why you need to make it easier because pasta is already easy, but right. For me, it just like...
I'm glad that you found something feels that works better for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I will boil my pasta. That's just something that's fine for me to do.
Anyways, that brings us to our next point. Find your favorite sauce. So rather than cooking multiple dishes to please the selective eaters, choose a sauce that can be added individually to meals.
I love that one.
Love this idea because my kids want everything plain. Mm-hmm. Well, the one-year-old needs it plain or the sauce will be everywhere. But Kai just like needs everything plain. And then Travis and I have differing preferences on our styles. Basically everything I like to eat, Travis dislikes to eat, and mm-hmm. vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
We have opposite food tastes. So this has been like something where you can make something that's kind of neutral, not bland, but kind of neutral, and just zhuzh it up with sauce to your preference. So she's saying she and her husband love sriracha, gochujang, and there we have like different types of hot sauces. I have fallen in love with the P.F. Chang's sweet chili sauce. It is delicious. Got some heat. It's low in sugar, but still a little sweet. Love that sauce on almost anything. Buffalo sauce, low fat ranch.
Yeah. I mean, this one stood out to me as one of those, like, I love that perspective of being able to make, even if you do want to kind of have one batch of one thing, but make it taste different throughout the week, or be able to cater to your child's needs, but then also be able to elevate it for your own taste buds. So, you know, I'm thinking if rice or veggies or even pasta is kind of the bulk of the food that you're having, you could make a big old mess of it at the beginning of the week and then do pesto one night and a sriracha the other night and a kind of more creamier type of sauce the next night. Like that could be a way that is low cost to be able to make the bulk of the food taste different every night. So I love that one. All right. The next one that I'm going to highlight is jumping down the list a little bit to number 7, which is talking about batch cooking. And again, this is one of those like take what you want, leave what you don't. Some things are going to work for you, some things don't, but batch cooking can be really helpful in simplifying the way that week to week can look for you. So this is where you're preparing a larger quantity of food ahead of time that of course you intend to use, and then cooking entire meals or meal components like side dishes and batches can save you time and effort during the week. They talk about how they like to batch cook roasted vegetables and then they'll use them for the next 4 or 5 days. They may be served as a standalone or added to a quiche or on top of a bed of rice. The possibilities are endless. I think when we hear the term batch cook, we think making a bunch of different recipes and shoving them all into the freezer. And for some people, that can work. That's a whole other way of going about meal planning and having meals ready for the days that you're short on time. But I also like how she's describing that it could just be one ingredient. I know you've talked, Jen, about cooking a ton of chicken breast all at once in your Instant Pot and then shredding it and freezing it or leaving some of it in the fridge to be able to throw into a soup.
I just did that Sunday.
Yeah, on top of a salad. I love her example of the roasted vegetables. So rather than just, I'm going to cook this one thing for tonight, put in that extra 3 to 5 minutes to chop up all the veggies that you have on hand and roast them. Mm-hmm. And then you're halfway there for the rest of the meals that week.
Yes. Yeah, I bought a family-sized Caesar salad kit from Walmart and added some of that shredded chicken on top. That was a 5-minute meal. I love a chicken Caesar salad.
Yeah, me too.
So the next one is to plan for 4 to 5 cooked meals. So to me, I interpret that, and this is a short description, so I don't know what she interprets it as, but for me, it's don't plan cooked meals every night. Some nights you want to intentionally plan for a freezer meal, and that can be flexible. You can say, I'm just going to, you know, on Thursday night, I'm going to see what piques my fancy that's in my freezer and defrost it for Friday. So you want to be intentional about incorporating freezer meals, whether you prepared them or you bought them from the grocery store. We love these bulk chicken cordon bleus from Sam's Club. And those you don't defrost. Those you just take out from the freezer. You also want to be intentional about like sandwich or salad nights, bag salad, or, you know, just making a sandwich or cereal, as Kellogg's would like you to start incorporating into your meal plan. So be intentional about putting those things in your meal plan when the week when your schedule requires it. Don't just like schedule out all these meals and then end up eating cereal for dinner. Plan it in. And I would say 3 to 4 cooked meals. That's where I live, 3 to 4 cooked meals a week. I try to live around 4. So the other 3 are either freezer, sandwich, cereal, sort of.
Or the leftovers.
Or leftovers. Yeah,
make one of those 3 or 4 meals a larger meal and then be able to do leftovers. The next one I'm going to highlight on here is number 8, which is try a challenge. You know us. We love those. If you need to gamify this thing to get yourself on board with it, do that. They reference how Courtney Carver at Be More With Less, we actually interviewed her
a very long time ago.
But she's got a lot of resources just around paring down minimalism. And she does a capsule kitchen challenge. I believe she started out with the capsule wardrobe challenge.
The 3-3-3 challenge.
Mm-hmm. So she's sticking with her threes. And the capsule kitchen challenge is a 3-month 33 ingredient challenge. So that's where you experiment to see if limiting your food choices can offer you maybe some health, lifestyle, financial benefits, and be able to learn from and maybe alter some habits in the way that you're cooking. So this is for 3 months. Try to only eat off of 33 ingredients. So that's going to limit what you're putting in your grocery cart. It's going to help you really refine your recipes that you're making and hopefully help to eliminate some decision fatigue. I'm sure there's other types of challenges out there. That's just the one that this article gave as an example. But again, I think we love challenges for the opportunity to open the door to what it is that we want to see shift or change in our lifestyles, what we're doing with our food, and help us to kind of think creatively outside the box. It can be that spark that we need to do something different. So if that's you, try a challenge.
Yeah. I mean, so in the book, we actually included, you found a study where limits or boundaries actually helped in creativity, that teams given reasonable restrictions were more creative. They had more, you know, innovative solutions for problems. And that's what a challenge is. It's not meant to be restrictive. It's meant to give reasonable restrictions, mm-hmm. which I guess you could argue is restrictive, but reasonable limitations.
Yeah, or constraints.
Constraints, mm-hmm. yes. Reasonable constraints to foster creativity.
Yeah.
So that's why a challenge is fun and healthy. All right. So the next one I am going to talk about is to choose always foods. So this is a list of a few things for your kids of snacks they can always have. Our goal, she says, our goal is to only have the healthy food in our house that I want to say yes to all the time. Having food options that you want to say yes to can simplify snack and mealtime. So I would say yes. I think this one focuses more on the health aspect. For me, I think having always foods and communicating that to your kids, it helps with decision fatigue, because it's always like, Mom, can I have a snack? Mom, what can I have for snack? Yada, yada. So we just got new cabinets and we have our microwave on the bottom. And so a base microwave cabinet has a cabinet underneath the microwave. And that is where we put all of Kai's snacks. So whatever is in that cabinet, he can have what he wants when he wants, and he can get it himself. And so that has limited questions, limit decision fatigue, interruptions on what I'm doing, all of that. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think always foods are important. Mm-hmm. But in terms of meal planning, this can help. It's not every week I'm deciding something different. It's, I would say, once a month, you're talking to your kids and me like, hey, what snacks do you want me to get for the next month? And then you've got it. You buy it every week if you need to, or you buy it in bulk at Costco or Sam's, and the decision is done. So we're not just, when we're talking about simplified meal planning, we're not just talking about dinner. We've got to think about breakfast, lunch, and snacks too. So create these always foods for snacks. And then also think about when you're doing these ingredient challenges or thinking about simplified ingredients in general, think about making breakfast in bulk. I think breakfast is my favorite thing to batch because I'll make a batch of egg cups or a batch of overnight oats on Sunday very quickly while I'm making dinner, and there's breakfast for the week.
Yeah. This one lines up with a tip I believe we've talked about before on the podcast, but it involves even keeping a menu, so to speak, of 5 to 10 meals. Well, 10 might be a little much. 5 to 7 meals that you know your family likes that you can make with some shelf staples that are always possibilities for you. So for me, one of those things is a Korean beef and rice recipe. So I will often keep ground beef and rice, and I just have all of the ingredients that I need. It's very simple to be able to make that recipe. I always have on hand frozen veggies and rice to be able to make fried rice. So I kind of know if we're really running low, we haven't had time to get to the grocery store, don't really know what I'm going to make, an always meal or always foods can include the things I'm always going to have on hand and the recipes that I know everybody in the house likes, even if I've got company over. So the next one on the list for me is choose recipes with 10 ingredients or less. And this flows into our next bit about sharing some low ingredient resources that we can use, kind of that second portion of this episode, because we think that that's one of the ways that we can make meal planning simple is if our recipes, the amount of time that the food takes to make, is also simple. This can also feel a little bit like a food challenge in some ways to only source for a period of time, let's say a couple of weeks or maybe even a month, that I'm only going to make recipes that are 10 ingredients or less, and see what that does for your timing, your wallet, your barrier to entry to meal planning and cooking in the kitchen. They reference how flavorful meals do not need 20 ingredients. 10 ingredients is still a real decent amount. Mm-hmm. I'd say I often will make meals that only have like 5 ingredients and they're still real great. So decide your number and give yourself that challenge. This could also really help to simplify.
So yeah, heading into our low ingredient resources, again, like less ingredients means you're spending less money on ingredients. So this could be a really great challenge. So my article that I want to share with you, and we're not going to go through these, but you can see them in our show notes, is 28 5 ingredient dinner recipes that are oh so simple. And I would say you could even, this is from Tasty, but you can even Google 5 ingredient recipes and get a bunch of different lists.
Mm-hmm.
I would say
you search it on Instagram and then be in. I always need the pictures. I'm like, what's this going to look like on my plate?
I love searching for 5 ingredient recipes. Challenge yourself 1 week to make only recipes that have 5 ingredients or less.
What looks the best on here to you?
I really love a, where was it? I just saw it. I love a beef and bean burrito.
Yeah, I forgot about those.
Right? Yeah. So that's really great. There's even a pasta salad, which got penne, arugula, pesto, like pre-made pesto, pre-roasted red peppers, and some burrata, like all stuff you can get at Walmart. So it doesn't have to be bad. Crockpot Italian beef. That looks like I would just get some steakums and some Italian rolls and pre-cut like the frozen onion pepper mix. Like that is something that we really love. So yeah, when you see these, you will also get creative with other things. So sometimes this is just to spark your creativity.
I know, it jogs your memory on things. Sometimes I do get in a rut of just working off that menu that I know I have on hand and we like, and I forget all these other options of what you can do with food. The one I want to highlight comes from The Minimalist Baker, and there's a lot of resources on this site, but one of the things that is really cool about it is the way that you can filter in recipes. So you can filter by season or a special diet or type of cuisine or simple factor. So whether you want 10 ingredients or less, or 15 minutes or less, or 30 minutes or less, or instant pot, or one bowl. So that I thought was a really cool way to be able to hack the simplification of cooking. Some of you might think, I don't really care how many ingredients there are. How long is it going to take
me? Yeah.
So being able to filter your recipes based on what you think is most valuable and important with your meal plan is awesome. The fact that this is a tool and resource on their website is amazing.
Yeah. And Minimalist Baker is just a fantastic resource for any vegan or vegetarian. So if you're trying to eat less meat, hit up the Minimalist Baker website. It's not baked goods. It's just all vegan.
Yeah. And of course, if all of this is still sounding so overwhelming, there's still Cook Smarts.
There's still Cook Smarts.
And I'm going to sing their praises because, again, if this is what's keeping you from eating more at home or cooking just in general, there are resources like CookSmarts who can do the meal planning for you. Mm-hmm. So that cuts out a pretty significant part of this process. If it's the sitting down, the coming up with stuff, the Google searching, the filtering the recipes, if that's the barrier to entry, hire it out. Have CookSmarts do it for you. And that doesn't have to be for forever. Try them for a month. See how that goes. See if that starts to spark some creativity for you to be able to do it on your own. But I think it's worth paying in a company to be able to do this, or even an individual to be able to do this for you, if that's what's going to help you start eating at home more, if that's what's going to help you save on groceries. And what I love about CookSmarts is they will also help you reuse ingredients throughout the week. Like, they're thoughtful about it, versus a lot of times when I am doing meal plans, sometimes it can just be a conglomeration of recipes that look good, but it's not necessarily taking into consideration, but how much leftover food am I going to end up having because I didn't use up all those ingredients. So
yeah,
frugalfriendspodcast.com/CS.
And they do sales about 5 times a year. I think they'll do a back to school sale. And we will tell you whenever they are doing sales. It's like, it's $15 a month. If you buy it, an annual subscription, I think it's about $8-ish a month. But then they have those sales a few times a year. Their next one, I think, is back to school. And if you are on the friend letter, frugalfriendspodcast.com, we will tell you when the next CookSmart sale is. They do, you'll get 4 meals a week, and you can choose between the regular or paleo or vegetarian options. So if you're outside of those dietary restrictions or preferences, then maybe CookSmarts is not the best for you. But if you are in those, we love that CookSmarts not only meal plans for you, but they also help you learn some techniques. So there's a little bit of cooking education, and then also reused ingredients. So they'll use one ingredient and they'll try to include it in meal plans occasionally until you would theoretically be done with that ingredient. So yes, we love CookSmarts.
Do you know what else we love that we absolutely reuse in every episode?
And it's never done. It never runs out.
The Bill of the Week.
That's right. It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, buffalo bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Hi, Jen and Jill. My name's Carissa. I'm from California. And I've been listening to y'all's podcast for literally so long, like over a year now, which feels like a long time for me. But y'all have literally taken me through like living with my ex, trying to budget for us to move out, to now us breaking up and me living on my own and having a new job and getting a Roth IRA and doing so much cool shit. All thanks to you guys. The main point of this bill, though, is that my birthday just passed on this past Tuesday. And that Tuesday, you guys released an ADHD neurodivergence money managing video. And I was like, oh my God, like I have ADHD. And it felt like a little gift to me. So thank you guys. And in preparation for my birthday, I was actually able to budget enough for me to save up for a new tattoo that I've been wanting. So that is my bill of the week. I got a tattoo thanks to y'all. And I'm just thriving because I've been listening to you guys for so long. So thanks so much. I'm excited to see what you guys post next. Bye.
Carissa, congratulations. That's amazing. Oh my gosh. The episode she's talking about is episode 390, Managing Money with ADHD or Neurodivergence. And so, well, happy birthday back in March. We do get to every bill, even if it takes a while. But yay, that's so exciting.
I'm so glad you felt seen by that. And I'm so glad you've been listening to us for a long time.
Yay.
And finally called in your bill. We love to hear from longtime listeners and hear about the things that are resonating with you. It sounds like you've accomplished a lot over these past few years. And the ability to gift yourself with something you love and value, like a new tattoo, is so exciting.
Little
I'm glad you have
ink.
The money for that.
Little ink.
And thanks for sharing that out with us. We're celebrating with you. If you all listening want to submit your bill, if it's because you've been listening to us for a while and you just haven't done it yet, please do so. Or if you're a new listener or your name is Bill, frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill, leave us your bill. And now it's time for the lightning round.
Pew. All right. Let's get into the nuts and bolts. Tastiest, cheapest, healthiest, lowest ingredient recipes that you can make with 5 minutes and zero. This is a lot of restrictions.
Goldie put a lot of restrictions on us, and this is what we're going to live and be creative in.
I feel hindered.
We want tasty, inexpensive, healthy, low ingredient, made in 5 minutes or less with zero prior work, not requiring previous prep work.
You know what You know what I just thought?
Uh-oh.
This is going to be a very niche reference, but I digested a huge gust of wind. So you that's could do my that. Favorite. A huge gust of wind is probably my best. No, okay, so chicken pot stickers, the frozen ones from Walmart or Sam's Club. They're both good. Turkey sandwiches. We do a lot of turkey sandwiches. Mm. We big turkey sandwich people.
Tell me what you put on it. What kind of bread? What are we working with?
We're working with any bread. I like Dave's Killer Bread. I think that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. Dave, Mike, I don't know what his name is.
I think you're right.
So, and then the rest of my family prefers white chemical bread. I don't know what something is bad about it.
Enriched.
Enriched. Yeah, I don't know. There's something bad. I don't know. So they will do that bread and then just turkey and whatever cheese we have. And not always chippies because I'm still like growing in my self-worth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So yeah, that is that. Meatball subs, instant pot spaghetti, kale salad with some shredded chicken, but I will just get the Mediterranean kale salad from Sam's Club, throw the shredded chicken on top, bam. So like
that one does require the previous prep work of the shredded chicken, but I'll let you have it. I'll let it slide.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
Although, can an Instant Pot cook chicken in 5 minutes? Probably.
Yeah. Okay, well, then I'll stick with my first, a huge gust of wind.
Yeah.
Jill?
Yeah, these are a lot of constraints. I'm going to go with a fridge raid, also called charcuterie board. My charcuteries are unhinged. It's really whatever's there.
What was on your last charcuterie board?
It usually includes, I've usually got a block of cheddar. You're going to be hard pressed to go in my fridge and not find cheddar cheese. A sliced apple. I've always got olives on hand. Bread with whatever jams and mustards we got going on. Sometimes that's it. Occasionally, I've got a little bit of a little extra something in the freezer. But again, that would be...
What's the something? Like you can't just say that.
I'm about to say,
explain.
But I'm going to say that would have required some extra prep. But eggplant fries, which that's a nice air fryer thing. You just slice up your eggplant, coat it in egg and breadcrumbs, and air fry those bad boys. And... that's yummy on the side. I love a fried rice. That is very quick. I just use the frozen veggies. It does require having rice already because it takes longer than 5 minutes to cook rice. Egg tacos. So those are fast. That does not require any other
prep eggs work. Are so good. Kids eat eggs. Eggs go in anything. I'd hard boil eggs on the weekend and my kids just love them.
Yeah. Egg tacos will just be like some scrambled eggs, salsa, sour cream. I also love me a salad with avocado. And this does not meet the health standards, but hot dogs.
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs are so fast. You just heat one of those bad boys up and done. That's like you can have it made and eaten in 5 minutes. And that's something that Goldie did not ask for in this lightning round, but
But you gave it.
I did give it.
You gave. It's giving above and beyond. It's giving gust of wind. So thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that this kind of sparked your interest in looking for those low ingredient meal plans and kind of gave you some places to look to. Obviously, we can't give you, you know, it's not time for our second annual dinner awards. So we're not going to give you a 2-week meal plan on this episode. We could, but we won't. But we wanted to spark your creativity in looking for those food challenges, those 5 ingredients, and yeah, ways to simplify your meal plans over the summer. And so if this did inspire you, then we would love to hear about it in a rating and review on Apple, kind of like this one from Liz in Asia that says, great for people in non-traditional lives, 5 stars. It says, we live in Asia and can't relate to most financial podcasts. We have no desire or ability to own a home, for example. This podcast is so practical and helps you elevate your own values and goals and then take practical and attainable steps. Thank you so much.
That's amazing. I love hearing that. It's fun to know we've got people all around the world listening in and that some of what we talk about is translatable across different cultures, communities. And that's one of the things, I mean, when we've been writing the book that we've talked about is we want some of these evergreen principles that can be applied because sometimes the exact plan and the exact blueprint of do this, do that, save that amount isn't what works for everybody, but rather these concepts of values-based spending that can follow us throughout a lifetime and kind of wherever we choose to live and whatever our personal goals are. So glad to hear that, Liz and Asia. Thanks for sharing. If you are also enjoying this show and you haven't told us yet that you're enjoying this show by leaving a rating and review, please do that.
Please.
When we reach, because it's not an if, it's a when we reach 1,000 reviews, because we're not there yet, we're going
to... As of recording.
Yeah. Well, then we'll set a new goal for ourselves. Jen wants to do a poll in the friend letter of what we should treat ourselves with when we reach 1,000 reviews.
We'd love your ideas, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know what our little treat should be.
Probably chippies.
But we've been working on it for over 6 years. So maybe it should be a little bigger than a little
treat. We've got so many things to celebrate, though. So
yes. If you are our 1,000th review, maybe we'll let you tell us what we should have the friend letter, the options we should give them.
Send us a screenshot if you are the 1,000 reviewer. But don't wait to review
us
so you be the 1,000.
Please don't wait. I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, dang it.
All right. See you next time.
Frugal Friends is produced by Eric Sirianni.
Jill, what are you cooking this summer? Like, what are you craving? What are you eating?
What's in?
What's your hot era? What era are you in? Food-wise.
We are in a little bit of an avocado era, which is fun for me because I used to be allergic to avocado in that they made me vomit. Like if I had too many, I loved them.
I remember.
But if it was too much,
recent?
It was nausea. It's been since I've known you, but yeah. I love avocado so much that I'm like, I'm going to see if I can reintroduce avocado to my diet and like build up immunity. And I don't know, it worked. And or the nausea was in my head. I don't know.
They are very fatty.
Yeah, it's whatever they're high in that I have read. There are people who have this like reaction to the nutrient that it is super dense in. So even still, I'll only eat like half an avocado, but oh, it's so great. So doing like a nice salt combo on the avocado, making guacamole. I'm definitely into the spreads and sauces. So making my own salsa verde, chimichurri, pesto, guacamole, these are really fun for me. And like one of those things, like we talked about earlier, finding a sauce, or I'd even take it further, like the spread, the mixture has been helpful for me to get some of that fresh flavor and make every meal taste a little bit different.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What about you? What's your era?
I have recently been in that like pot sticker era where I've just been like making those like several times a week because they're so easy. I am in my easy era.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, like less thought, the better era, which 100%. Is why I think I love a one pot spaghetti because I can't even manage regular spaghetti. I hear you talking about making salsa verde and chimichurri, and I get anxious.
So, yeah, speaking of the salsa verde, though, it's actually really pretty easy. You roast tomatillos.
That's what they say. And then you say roast.
In the oven. But here's the thing. When you're already roasting other things, like I will, what's that one step you can take now that makes your life easier in the future? Like if the oven's on, then I think, what else can I throw in this oven that's going to make my life easier through the rest of the week? So a lot of times my oven's on just once a week and we're just rotating it. We're just shoving stuff in. And with a timer, I'm not there in the kitchen all day. It just is, all right, I chopped up all this stuff and we're just going to fit as much as we can in there. So really, salsa verde is roasted tomatillos and then you throw that in a blender with like a bunch of other stuff. That's it.
Yeah.
Just blend. Roast and blend.
Roast and blend.
Done.
Yeah. Still, I can't wrap my head around it.
That's fine.
I have too many
totally
children.
Fine.
Too much laundry, and I can't.
I bet there's an instant pot for it. I bet there is.
Maybe.
But yes, you don't
can't even wrap my head around spaghetti.
That can be a big thing to have to make your own sauces and salad dressings and that kind of a thing. For me, it's what's inspiring me and making other things easier. The fact that I've got this fresh sauce, fresh dip. Then it makes the other things, those can be simple, not complicated, because I've got this nice sauce that's going to go with
it. Maybe you don't go big on the meat or the big thing. Maybe your meal is sauce-centered.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I say I'm not into soup, but here we are with the sauces, getting a spoon.
Maybe you're sauce-centered.